The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And it's been ages. We are going back down to Southern Rhone, to the Côte du Rhône area, with from Château de Trillon, and I've already mispronounced that, winemaker, general director, it is Florence Keel. Florence, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today.
Thank you very much.
So I was wondering if we could just start with some basic introductions. You and your brother now come from a family that has been making wine in the Rhône for a long time. I was wondering if you could tell listeners a little bit about your history.
So we are winemakers since 1748, so we are the 13th generation. And we own several estates in Southern Rhone Valley and also Côte de Provence in very famous appellations such as Châteauneuf-du-Pape, but mainly Côte du Rhône and Côte du Rhône Village with several crus des Côtes du Rhône.
For you and your brother, was it always going to be wine? I mean, you come from this massive history of winemakers. Was it always in your blood, or was there other any thoughts that you might have had when you were young?
I think it's in our blood. And after when you are a kid in a familial winemaker company, you are in the vineyard all the day long.
Yeah. All right. So then let's go. Actually, did you have a favorite bottle of wine when you were younger? Was there a moment when you were young when your mom or your dad opened a bottle that really just blew your mind about how good it was?
I was very fond of Muscat de Baume de Venise. Because it's a sweet wine, so for kids, it's quite easy to drink, even if a kid do not have to drink wine, of course. But it's something like fun and something lovely. So for me, that was super wine, that natural sweet wine.
Nice. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. But we can talk about those wines at the end. And even the white wines don't get discussed a lot. But let's go back to 2006. When your family acquired the chateau that you are working for. I was wondering if you could take us back to those moments with you and your brother taking over Château de Trillon, and you'll pronounce it the correct way for me.
So this is Château du Trillon. So at this time, we had several other estates in other appellation of Rhône Valley. But for us, Côte du Rhône is a very important appellation, and we think that it's very well known, and it is a wide appellation. So that's why we want to purchase something in Côte du Rhône. And Château du Trillon was a very good opportunity because there were several appellations. Of course, there is Côte du Rhône and Côte du Rhône Village, and some crus such as Gigondas, Vaqueras, and Rasto. Mm-hmm. So we decided to make our own range, our own wine. So now we have some Côte du Rhône White, Côte du Rhône Rosé, and Côte du Rhône Red, and also two different villages, that is Sablé and Plan de Dieu, and after some crus comme Gigondas, Vaqueras, and Rasto. That is
the range of your wines. I was wondering, because it's the one great thing about Côte du Rhône is you can find a bottle here in Ontario for $17 that has so much depth and character and tastes way above its price. I always said Côte du Rhône is one of the best value areas in the world for wines. But I was wondering if you could just tell the listeners a little bit about your range of wines and what the difference is in the styles.
So in Rhône Valley, I think it's very difficult to understand because you've got a very different kind of wine. You can have some very fruity wine, some very spicy wine. So what is very interesting in Rhône Valley Vineyard, is that there is one wine for each consumer. So if you are a consumer and you want to have a good wine, you can go in Rhône Valley, because in Côte du Rhône, because you have several kind of wine. So there is, it's obvious that there is one wine for you, that's sure. So you can try several different kind of wine and you will find a Côte du Rhône that suits to your taste. In our own range for Château du Trillon, we are mainly targeted on quite spicy wine. So wine with a lot of Mourvèdre, with spicy taste, paper taste, and a little bit of oak, but not too much. So you can have either just a glass of wine or it can suit with your dishes or whatever.
You mentioned, actually, skip ahead a little bit, and I want to hear more about your own journey. And during this time of this interview, you know, I also want to speak about the role of women in the vineyards and just where we are now versus back in the day. But let's go here for a moment. What do each of the three main grapes bring to your blend? When you see Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, the GSM, what do each of those three grapes, what do they each individually bring to your bottles of wine?
So to make it easy, we can say that Grenache, we mainly have it for, it gives alcohol to the wine, but also it gives something like just wine, because to have wine, we need a matière, and that is Grenache. Syrah generally gives some color, and Mourvèdre gives some spicy taste. But if you say, okay, Grenache is alcohol, Syrah is color, and Mourvèdre is spicy, it's too simple, because when you put all the three together, there is something else. It's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but it's 1 + 1 + 1 = something else. So, and this is what is wonderful in our job, is that blending some grape variety, you do not make an addition, you make something else. And that is all our job.
How do you enjoy the blending process? Is it stressful? Is it, because I imagine every year it's going to be at least a bit of a different percentage.
It's totally different each year. And for example, a Grenache or a Syrah has not the same taste every year because of the climate, because of the disease we can have in the vineyard. Each year it's a new thing, and blending is never the same. And even if you blend exactly the same percentage of Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre, if your Grenache, Syrah, or Mourvèdre do not come from the same plot, you do not have the same result. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not magical, but it's something like that, because it's not mathematic. We cannot say it's an art or something like this, but it's just nature that gives us something else.
Kind of like a little bit of art, a little bit of science, and a little bit of the whim of Mother Nature all rolled into one.
Yeah, that is. And that is what is something extraordinary in our job or winemaking process. That is something that nature gives us. And after human is just here to make something better, perhaps. We hope something better than nature can give. But we're just here to help nature to give us the best.
I'm always curious about this, your thoughts on vintage variation, because I understand how maybe some wineries, giant mass-produced ones, they would want to make the same wine every year so the customer knows exactly what they're getting. That means you're kind of ignoring the vintage and you're making the wine more in the cellar than in the vineyards. And, you know, sometimes it's about wanting to, you know, make the customer feel safe, so maybe you have a better chance of selling more wine. But then on the other end, you want to be true to yourself and to the vintage and the vineyard and the terroir. So I'm wondering how you guys figure that out in terms of how you embrace vintage variation.
As a small producer, we have no vintage are the same. It's impossible, because we have the climate, we have many differences each year. So it's just impossible. We try to be in the same trend, of course. If our customer like a fruity wine or a spicy wine, or okay, we try to be on the same trend. But what is interesting is that each year you get something else, something different, and you cannot drink wine, I would say, AOC or wine producer wine, as you can drink a soda or something like this. It's totally different because it's never the same. So it's really interesting. And when you have something in your glass, you have to think about what is behind the glass, not just you have a beverage in your glass. No, it's not only that. You have, of course, behind a producer, you have also a terroir. You have also 1 year long working, because it's only one harvest every year. So each year we have to work. And after doing the harvest, it's the result of our work. It's not just a beverage we export in all the world. It's something else.
You said in one of your, that reminds me of one of your quotes, where you talked about how a glass of wine, a glass of your wine from Côte d'Aron, it's a tradition in your glass. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit, what does that mean more, a glass of your wine? It's like a drinking a glass of tradition.
Yes, it's totally that. For me, when you have a glass of Côte d'Aron, for example, you have, of course, a very good wine in your glass to have fun and to discover it, of course. But behind, you have one producer that produces the wine. You also have some landscape. You also have all a region, all an area with a climate, with an history. Because for Rhône Valley, wine is very, very important. It is a main agricultural cultivation that we have in our area. So wine is very, very important. And even for Romanians, it was very important. So it's a more than 2,000 year history that you have in your glass.
What about your own what about your own journey, Florence? I'd be curious to hear your stories of studying or making wine when you were younger. What were some of the most important points for you growing up and learning to be a winemaker?
I would say that I think it's the familial tradition, because if I'm here, it's not only to make wine, it's just to continue a real story. I'm the 13th generation, and I hope there will be a 14th and a 15th after. Mm-hmm. But what is really important is to continue the story. Of course, we need a modernization of the story, because we have to adapt every day to the context, to the global situation of economy, of environment, and everything. But it's to continue. And after, I hope that when my daughter or my niece take over the company, the company will be perhaps not bigger, but very well adapted to the situation, and perhaps better than when I take it.
Does it feel, how much of it is an honor for you to celebrate your family? And then on the other end, do you or have you felt stress about wanting to live up to 13 generations of your family?
It's a big stress. because of course it's not a stress, it's like a pressure, because I have in my shoulders a 13th generation, so I do not want to be the one that stop the the story, of course. So I hope not, but after I think that currently we have a lot of challenges, and it's very difficult to adapt the company to be in the move, because perhaps 30 years ago there is some problem, of course, but it was mainly some agricultural problem. Today we have to be at the same time, so we have to be a very good business, very good in trade, very good in marketing, very good in all the field. We are not just agriculture, we are like a businessman or woman, but at the same time, we have to take care of our soils, of our terroir, and that is quite difficult today.
It's why whenever someone says, Matt, would you ever want to make wine? I'm like, no, that's way too much work. I enjoy napping or sleep or things like that. You mentioned, you know, your daughter or niece. How important is it for the wine world to have women in positions of power? And I know it's better now in 2023 than say in 2000. There still is obviously work to be done, but just for the wine industry, for the quality of the wine, how important is it to have a true equality between men and women?
I think that, of course, now there is more women in the wine industry. That's totally true. But we have to know that for many, many, many years, there still have some women. For example, in my family, the estate comes from some woman. My grandmother, the estate belongs to my grandmother. And after, they give to their daughter and daughter after daughter. But before, women are less known. So there were less on the scene. It was just the owner, and perhaps they have the responsibility, but men take over their responsibility, but they have the real responsibility. So it's not really a new thing. After perhaps today, we see more women in the industry. That's a good thing because we are complementary. It's not we have to make something balanced with men. It's not, but for me, quota is a very shame because if you put some women just because they are women, it's not a good thing. You have to put some women because they have something to say or something to do or something. They have some competencies. Mm-hmm. So that is important. So for the same competencies or the same job, of course, women have to be in the same level than men, of course. But if you put women just in the front just because they are women, I think that's a shame and that's not good for women because some women do not want this job or do not want this pressure because it's also a pressure. So I think it's not good in that case. So if women want to take some responsibility in the company or even if a wine organization, of course it's okay. But it's not good to put some quota or things like this.
Well, yes, it all it does is it does a disservice to other women out there that wants the job. It does a disservice to the wine itself and to everyone behind it. To me, I always think it's an important thing because, you know, a diversity of thoughts or opinions are going to often lead to new ideas and you don't get stuck in the same rut. I think men and women in general, we look at many things, not all things, but we look at things differently. So if you can have that balance, then you sort of have a greater selection of opinions to choose from.
Yeah, you're perfectly right. Perhaps women can have another view than men on some subject. And I think that we have just to help each other. And if there is a balanced situation, we can improve the wine business and wine organization and everything. But I think that women are not better than men in that situation. They're just another thing, another view or another competencies. So we have to have something balanced. Today, perhaps there is too focused on women because unlike some women, it is not a clear situation. Just because they are women, no, it's not good. Yeah. So just leave some space to women when they have something to show or something to prove, of course, but not push a woman only because they are women. I think it's a shame and not good for them.
I agree. Yeah, and it's never about one gender is better, it's never about a battle. It's about bringing different options to the table. The one thing, a statistic I saw that nearly half of all the Oenology diploma graduates are women in 2022. And just seeing that feels great because, you know, if you're working through the ranks, if you graduate from that school, that means you have a passion and a talent for it. So that is certainly a good sign. And I imagine that number is very different now than when it was 20, 30 years ago. So I wanted to also get a little bit into white wine for a second, because I find here in Ontario, we're very much focused on the reds, on the Côte d'Aron, on the, you know, just the Grenache, the Syrah, the Mourvèdre. And we don't talk enough about the whites. And I often say that Grenache Blanc, the Marsan, the Roussans of the world, these can be great wines for someone who only drinks Chardonnay, but now they want to try something different, something still big with a very round palate. I was wondering if you could talk about the joy of white wine from your region.
I would say that Côte d'Aron white are just marvelous and delicious. I'm really fond of this kind of wine. Of course, we are red run wine producer because the major part of our production is red, of course. But you have some really lovely white, and this is wine that you have to discover. Because Côte d'Aron white, first of all, for example, Marsan and Roussan, this is two great varieties that are really born in Rhône Valley. So it's very important because generally the grape varieties are wonderful, are born because they are really well adapted. So Marsan and Roussan are wonderful for that. After, you can also find some Grenache Blanc and Viognier. And generally in Southern Rhône Valley, we in Côte d'Aron, we blend this grape variety, and you that gives something quite special, very well balanced, and at the same time it's fresh, but you have something fully mass and something that is very, very nice, and not only for summer but also year long. And I think that Rhone White, Côte du Rhone White, are very, very lovely. So you have absolutely to discover them. I'm very fond of them.
I think of it the same way I think of Bordeaux whites, a wine region known so much for its reds that the whites sometimes get overshadowed, but that you need to try them because they're unique, they're different. And again, for people that love Chardonnay, but you want to branch out, I think Rhone whites certainly fit that model perfectly. Curious your thoughts just on biodiversity and what it means for you guys. I'm a firm believer that any good winemaker, they're always going to treat the environment and nature with care and respect. So some have a sticker, some don't, but most good winemakers want to respect the land because that's where your wine comes from. But just your own thoughts on organic and biodiversity when it comes to winemaking.
So I would say that if you are a real wine producer, you have to respect environment because it's your own terroir, your own soul. And if you do not, you are totally stupid. And I would say that we try to protect, for example, biodiversity, but also limited use of water. When we use water, watering is in small quantity, but also we have to respect water because it's not full. We have some lack of water. So we need to respect that. So you have several ways of respecting environment. Of course, you can protect biodiversity, water, but also you when you put some intrants in the vineyard, you can have some product that are more respectful to the environment and other less. So you can choose. And I think what is important now is that each producer has to have its own way to respect environment. And this is very important for all the Rhone Valley vineyard, is respecting environment, but each producer has its own solution. So this is very important for us.
Sometimes means you get a sticker, an accreditation. Sometimes mean you doesn't, but as long as you respect in the environment, that's what matters the most. Florence, as we end this, I want to, early on, you were talking about how for you, you want to make sure that when you ever retire, that you pass on to your family that the land and the wine is as good, if not better, than what you inherited. I'm wondering, how are you feeling about that? How are you feeling about your own, the chapter you're writing for the history of your family's winery? That's a tough final question. I gave you the heavy one right at the end.
I would say that I have no idea, but I just hope that my children, my child, my daughter, and my niece, and the boy of my brother, have their own opinion. I cannot be my own judge. They will judge me, but I cannot be my own, because it's so difficult to say, okay, my focus is doing that. No, I just want that the next generation will be happy with the estate I leave to them.
Love it. Hey, Florence, thank you so much for doing this today. Congrats for you and your family and just 13 generations. It's incredible. And I say this again, there's a couple wine regions out there that I think always shine in terms of the quality for the price. And not that you can't go and you can go find a $200 bottle of wine from your area, that's going to be just kicking. But if you're looking for that just under $20 wine solution, Côte du Rhone has so many different expressions, and it's definitely worth everyone's time. And Florence, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interested People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.